Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, we're going to jump right into the Word this morning. And so if you have your Bible, would you grab it, stand to your feet with me and turn to the book of Matthew, the second chapter. No, I didn't mean to say Luke chapter 2. I meant to say Matthew chapter 2. And so go to Matthew chapter 2 and we're going to read together starting in the first verse. And then I'm going to talk with you just for a little bit this morning. Once again, thank you so much just for being here. It's wonderful to get to spend this time together as a family, celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I look forward to 2024 and what that holds. As Pastor Madison was sharing, the Lord's already been speaking vision. We will resume Wednesday night services on January the 3rd, and I hope that all of you are here with us that morning. But if you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 2, we're going to read. We're going to pick up in verse 1. Read it with me together. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your word today, and as we look to it, I pray that it would reveal things in our heart that we didn't even know were there. God, I pray that you would enable us and strengthen us to receive the Word of God today and to mix it with faith so that it can bear forth 30, 60, or what we're really praying for, 100-fold return in our life. God, I pray that you would fill this place with your presence as we look to you and try to learn and seek and grow in knowledge of your Word and of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to talk with you for a few short moments today on giving gifts to God. Giving gifts to God. That's why I picked this text about the wise men to read out of the Christmas story today, is because these wise men, we don't know that it was three, but we do know there were three gifts given. These magi, these men from the east, they came, they'd seen a star in the sky, and it led them, and they were coming to seek and to find the Messiah. And you know, you can find so many opinions and outlooks concerning the traditions of Christmas. You know, one of the most famous traditions in Christmas is obviously gift giving, right? Maybe last night we went over to my grandparents' house and they gave gifts to all the great-grandchildren and the grandchildren and even their children. And today we'll go to my parents' house and exchange gifts with my family. And then tomorrow morning, my family will gather around the Christmas tree and we will exchange gifts with one another. And that's a tradition that we have of Christmas. And you can have many opinions and thoughts of, you know, some people say, "Oh, that's a pagan tradition." Well, I'm reading right here in the Bible that at the very first, you know, when Christmas was invented, there were people that showed up and they gave gifts to Jesus. And so you can say that's a pagan tradition. I say I'm honoring the Word of God that there were gifts given at the Christmas story. And so, you know, people say, you know, the Christmas tree. Well, the Christmas tree, do you know what the Christmas tree actually represents? It's an evergreen, and it represents eternal salvation that we've been granted by God as an eternal Savior, as an eternal Lord, as the Christ that came and gave his life so that you and I don't have to live eternally separated from Christ, but we live eternally connected to him, knowing that we shall live forever with him. So next time you look at your Christmas tree, let it not just be, that's beautiful. I like that ornament. Look at the Christmas tree and remember, that's a symbol of the fact that I'm going to get to spend eternity with my Savior. I'm going to get to spend eternity looking at God, loving him, being loved by him. And, you know, so my family, we choose to take this time, the month of December. Once Thanksgiving ends, it is Christmas season, full force, right? And we choose to take this time to observe, along with millions of others, probably like you, because you're here this morning around the world, to observe and remember the first coming of Christ. But not just the first coming of Christ. Christmas should also remind us that not only did Jesus come once, he's coming again. He came once as a babe, but this time when he comes back, he's not coming wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's not coming lying in a manger. He's coming as a king, riding on a white horse, coming to take his people home. And so Christmas season, yes, it's about remembering, but it's also about hope. It's about looking forward to the fact that our Savior, he came and he lived a perfect life, but he's coming back. And he's coming back to take us home. And so we should allow it to remind us of that. So we choose to take time in the month of December to give, to receive, to celebrate, to feast. I don't know about you guys, but one of my favorite things about Christmas is feasting. I can't wait to feast. Because did you realize that feasting is biblical? Because we're celebrating and we're remembering the goodness of God and we're taking time together to break bread. And when we do that, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made. To celebrate, to decorate, just like the Christmas tree or the wreath is symbolic of the eternity of Christ and the eternal salvation that we have. And so, you know, red in Christmas represents for us the blood of Jesus Christ. When you decorate, when you put these things up, remember these truths about our Savior. And so we do all of this in observance of Christ, our Savior. And he himself, Jesus, was the greatest gift. I know it becomes so much of a cliche that sometimes we pass over it, but he's the greatest gift ever given. God truly gave everything so that we could be redeemed. So, if God gave everything, what should our response be? Our response should be to give our lives back to him. That's why I want to talk to you today about giving gifts to God. You know, God gives a lot of great gifts. He's, in fact, every good and every perfect gift, according to the book of James. In fact, I think we have that scripture. Can you go ahead and put that up for me? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. And so he gives good gifts to us. So our response is, I want to give my life back to him. So you may wonder, how could I give gifts to God? Well, I believe that this was included in the gospel for our sake so that we could see that because the wise men gave gifts to God, and hopefully you believe Jesus was God. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet. Jesus was God from on high. He came down. And so these men, they showed up and they literally gave gifts, not just to a baby. They gave gifts to God. And they knew what they were doing. How do I know this? Because it says that when they came, they fell down and they worshiped him. A baby who was not even yet 2 years old. They bowed down and they worshiped him. Why? Because he wasn't just a baby. He was God. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. Unto us a child has been born. To us a son has been given. And the government rests upon his shoulders. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the everlasting Father. And so he was worshiped. And so our response, our gifts to him is that we give our lives to him. He gave all of himself. All he wants is all of yourself. Because he gave everything that he had. He withheld nothing. He wants your heart. You know what I think is so beautiful and awesome about this? He wants your heart as it is. He doesn't ask you to refine your heart before you bring it to him. He asks you to bring his heart so that he can refine it. He doesn't ask you to put the pieces back together and make it beautiful and awesome and great. He wants your heart even in its most broken and natural state. He wants you to be transparent. He wants the honest, real version of you. You know why? Because he came to help. He's not looking for a perfect version of you. Facades, they don't impress him. He can see right through them. Man judges by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so people may look at you and it looks like you've got everything together on the outside, but if your heart's broken, then and you're in pain and you're desperate for help, you don't have to think, well, I better show my best version of myself to God. No, you just show him. You open up. You say, here it is. Here's my heart, broken and all. I'm transparent. I'm open. I'm honest because I know that you see me as I am and you came to help. So trust him. Give yourself completely to him. And when you give yourself as a gift to God, it's the greatest act of trust that you could ever perform. By you saying, here's my heart. I trust you completely with it. When the Magi came to visit Jesus, they told Herod, or they were looking for Jesus, rather, they came to Herod, and they said, we're looking for the king of the Jews. Imagine Herod, how perplexed he must have been as the king. If someone come and say, we're looking for the king, and we know we're talking to the king, but we're still looking for him. We haven't found him yet. We're looking at a king, but we're not looking for a king. We're looking for the king, the king of the Jews, the one that was promised by God and was prophesied that we believe now he is here and he's the Messiah. So imagine his shock. And they said, we came to worship him. We came to pay our respects. We came to honor him. And so they came and they found Jesus. And the Bible says that upon their arrival at the home, they fell down and they worshiped him. Now imagine Mary and Joseph. They knew who this child had been promised to be, but now it was playing out before their very eyes. And they were realizing, we're not the only ones that know this is the Messiah. These men have come and they've traveled a far way and they've brought gifts and they literally are bowing before a baby to recognize that he's Lord. And they offered him gifts. God gives great gifts to us, right? Jesus being the greatest gift of all. Again, I want to show you this further in Scripture, Ephesians 4, 7 and 8. It says, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So he's given gifts to us. You know, there's nothing more awkward on Christmas Day around the Christmas tree than if someone were to give you a present and you get that sinking feeling, I didn't get them anything, right? And they're just so excited for you to open that present and you're sitting there thinking, how am I going to get it? Do I have any gift cards in my wallet right now? How much cash do I have? Is there a card that doesn't have my name on it that I could repurpose, slide a 20 in there and say, I didn't really know what you wanted, so I thought, you know, cash is king. Here you go, right? But there's nothing more awkward than like someone got you something and you didn't give anything in return, right? But since he's given a gift to us, don't you think he deserves gifts in return? And the only gift he wants is you, your life. So like the Magi, we can give a gift to God by living our life for him. So how do we do that? What we're going to do is we're going to use the gifts of the Magi as a roadmap. And I'm going to show you what these gifts are symbolic of in our life that we can give back to God. Because hopefully you're sitting here going, I want to give God a gift. You know, I look forward to being able to give my children gifts on Christmas. I look forward to being able to give my wife a gift, my parents, my brothers and sisters. I look forward to being able to present presents to them because I love them. And so as the children of God, we should look forward to how can I give to God? And I think if there's one thing that we should focus on in 2024, it's this, not just what can I get from God because he's already given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, but what if you approach life from this perspective? What can I give to God? Because he's already given me so much. He's provided atonement for my sin. He's provided healing for my body. He's provided peace for my mind. He's given me the gift of the Holy Spirit as a comforter and a protector and a helper. He has given me everything that I need. So what can I give to him? So let's look at this. The first gift that they brought was gold. Gold is symbolic to us of our resources. That as we give our resources to God, we're giving a gift to him. And so I want to encourage you to make sure, especially in this season that can get very busy and we can get so wrapped up in going here and going there and doing this and doing that, that you take time to give to God. Because the greatest resource that every person have is not money. It's not a dollar. The greatest resource that every person has is time. Because it's the only thing that we're all equal in. Money and talents are good to give to God. We're going to talk about that. But let's talk about time for a moment. Because you may be very talented at fixing cars. You may be very talented at, you know, there was, growing up, you know what was the most impressive thing to me? If someone was fast. You guys remember, it's like, he's the fastest kid, right? Like, I had this friend named Cody Barnes. I can still remember him because that dude could fly. He was just like lightning. Every time he took off, I could never keep up with him. And I just thought that'd be the coolest thing in the world, to be the fastest guy, right? But not everybody has the same talents. Not everybody has the same abilities. You might be a great cook. You might be a great teacher. You might be great at a certain sport, right? It's like my friend Logan back there. I'm going to point him out every time he's here. He's a great tennis player. I'm not, right? We're on different levels when it comes to talent. But if we went to the golf course, I would take him to school, right? And so everybody's talented in different ways. And so when it comes to talents and abilities, we're different. You may make more money than I do. You probably do. I'll have to go ahead and tell you that right now. You may not make as much money as I do. That's okay. We're all different on the amount of money that we make, on the amount of talents that we have. But we all are given the precious gift of time. And you have 24 hours a day. I have 24 hours a day. And let me tell you some good news. If you didn't realize this, did you realize that a few days ago, the day started getting longer by 30 seconds, then shorter when it became winter? So that means that there's 30 seconds more of daylight today. That means that spring and summer are coming. Thank God for that. I love Christmas. But once Christmas is over, I'm like, can it just be April? Like, not that I want to wish away. God's the God of seasons and times. I'm sure he's got great stuff for us. But like, you know, I'm ready for that warm weather once Christmas is over. But we all have 24 hours a day. So the greatest way that you can honor God with your resources is to give him time. But a lot of times when it comes to the totem pole of time in our life, God ends up being last on the list instead of first on the list. It's like, oh, I just didn't have time to get to that today. I didn't have time to spend time with the Lord today. But if we really want to give God a gift, shouldn't we start by saying, God, here I am. Here's my heart. Here's my time. I'm going to live this day, but first I commit it to you. I give myself to you. You gave yourself to me, so I'm going to live my life for you. And I forgot to intro the video earlier, Logan. I'm so sorry. Don't worry about the video. It's all right. Don't worry. There was going to be a nice video that was going to be very Christmassy, but I forgot. I got too excited to get into this word and just skipped right past it. So if you want to see it, Logan will play it for you at the end of service, okay? But we value him through spending time in his presence. Could you imagine as a father? I know for me, when Zoe comes to me, hey, baby girl, and she says, Daddy, can I sit in your lap? The answer to that question is always yes. Never no, right? Because it means so much to me that she would want to sit with me. She'd want to be close to me. Could you imagine what that does to God when his children come and say, I just want to spend time with you. I just want to be with you. I didn't even come to ask you for anything. Just came to be with you. Any blessing, any ability that is at your disposal, whether it's money, time, talents, guess what? It came from him. So that's why the Bible says everything is from him, through him, and back unto him. So that's how we, present our lives as gifts to him, is by saying, you know what, my resources, I give him gifts by spending time with him. I grant him a gift by being generous, by tithing, by giving to others, by giving a free will offering, by giving thanksgiving. That's giving him gold. That's giving him my resources. I by using the talents that he's blessed me with. And you may say, well, I don't have a talent. Everybody has a talent. Everybody has at least something that God has given you that you can use to give him glory. And when you do that, you're giving the gold that he's blessed you with, and you're giving it back to him. So by using our resources, we're giving him the gifts that he wants the most. Do you remember something from when you were a child that you really wanted for Christmas and you got it? I remember when I was 8, I got a BB gun. That's all I wanted for Christmas, and I got a BB gun, and I'll never forget it. I can remember the feeling of opening up that wrapping paper and seeing that Red Ryder BB gun in the box and taking it outside. And I remember I took a mug from the kitchen and shot it and broke it. I remember that specifically. I don't remember if I got in trouble, but I remember the act of doing that. It was so much fun. I remember my brother and I, we were shooting upside down, and we had it was the best Christmas I ever had. I remember it was so awesome. But do you remember that feeling getting something you really wanted? Well, think about this. God really wants your time. And think about the opportunity as a child of God to bless God by giving him our resources, our time, our money, our efforts, and our abilities. The second gift that the Magi brought was frankincense. Frankincense is symbolic to us of spiritual devotion to God. Because frankincense was used as an aroma of incense in prayer. When in ancient times, when they would go to pray to the Lord, they would use frankincense. Frankincense is a resin that comes out of tree sap, and they would take it and they would set it on fire and they would burn incense so that it would be a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Now, in the new covenant, we are that pleasing aroma to God. Our lives are that fragrance of frankincense that come before him. And as you read the word and you're studying the Bible and you're praying and you're being obedient to his will, and you're worshiping him, and you're attending church, and you're committing yourself to him, or when you're fasting, and you're denying, and you're giving of yourself, do you know what it's like? God looks down, and your life becomes like a sweet-smelling aroma in the nostrils of God. In fact, David said this in Psalm 141, verse 2. He said, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice." And so frankincense, as the Magi, they brought that gift. For us, it's symbolic of spiritual devotion to God, saying, "I'm going to seek you. I'm going to spend time talking with you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship. I'm going to be faithful to come to the house of God, even when I don't feel like waking up, getting out of the bed, getting dressed, driving to church. I'm going to be there because you devoted your life for me. I'm devoting my life to you. I belong to you." And when you do that, it's a gift to him. He looks down and he doesn't go, "Oh, you know, it's no big deal." He's like, "Wow, you gave me that? You spent time in prayer. You spent time in the word. You came to the house of God on Christmas Eve morning." God's looking down upon you this morning, and it's like a sweet-smelling aroma. Just like, you know, hopefully you're going to have a great Christmas feast tonight or tomorrow. Maybe it's a turkey or, you know, a pumpkin pie or something that you are going to smell, and you can't wait to smell that sweet-smelling aroma because you know I am going to devour that here shortly, right? God is looking down, and it's like, it's rising up from the well-fought pain just because you're here today. It's frankincense. It's a sweet-smelling aroma to him. Just like David said, "Let my prayer be like incense." When you pray, it's that sweet-smelling aroma to the Father. The third gift that the Magi brought was myrrh. Myrrh was used for burials and for embalming. And so myrrh is a gift that we give to God, is the death to self. You know, you can never really live with God until you die to yourself. In fact, Paul said in Galatians, the second chapter, the 20th verse, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And then he says, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain." What he's saying is this: Christ died, and because Christ died for me, I need to die to myself so that I can live to him. So myrrh represents death to self. You know, we're called to die daily to ourselves. Brother Dale and I were talking about this earlier. In Luke, the 9th chapter, in the 23rd verse, when Jesus was giving us Christianity or discipleship 101, he said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross." And in fact, it doesn't just say take up his cross. This, I chose Luke specifically because this verse is in Matthew and Mark. But in Luke, it says, "Let him take up his cross daily and follow me." That means every single day I choose not my will, but your will be done. I'm dying. I try to every morning I pray, I die to Spencer DeVries so that I can live in Christ. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Every single day. And every time that you die, you know what it's like? Myrrh. It's a precious gift to God that he goes, they're dying to themselves so that they can embrace the gift that I gave to them. You know, the sacrifice of the old covenant was sheep, rams, and doves. The sacrifice of the new covenant was the perfect, spotless lamb, Jesus. Our response should be this. I'm dying to myself so that I can live in the peace made by your sacrifice. I'm embracing the sacrifice that you gave by choosing, I'm going to live in you. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable act of worship. That means, remember what the Magi did when they came? They worshiped him. How? By giving him gifts. When we worship, it's a gift to God. We're saying, I'm giving this to you. I could keep it for myself. And I love this, what it says about the Magi. It says, when they came, they opened up their treasures to him. You know what Jesus says? He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because you know what he really wants? The treasure that is your heart. That's all he really wants. Not following our will, but his will. So choose. I'm going to give and live my life as a gift to God. He can have my gold, my resources. He can have my time. He can have my money. He can have my abilities, my talents. He can have my frankincense, my spiritual devotion. I'm not going to devote myself spiritually to anything other than him. And he can also have my myrrh, where I lay down my life so that I can take up this cross and every single day follow him and give gifts to God. Why? Because he's given gifts to me. Everything that we have that's good and is perfect in our life, guess what? It came from him. Gentlemen, your wife came from God. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with God. Our children, the fruit of the womb is a reward. These are gifts that God has given us. And so we respond by saying, God, I give back to you my gold, my frankincense, and my myrrh. Can you stand to your feet with me today? Father, I thank you so much that you did not withhold your son, but you gave him freely. And you allowed us to know you through his death, the sacrifice that he made. And so we choose today to give to you our gifts. And if that's your heart, would you right now lift your hands right there in your seat and in your own way, just begin to tell him, God, I give you my gold. I give you my resources, the things of value, the abilities that I have. I surrender them to you. They're yours and yours alone, God. I give you my finances. I surrender, God. I'm not going to hold on to, I'm not going to be greedy. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm not going to be stingy. But God, I say, I want to give a free will offering to you. God, I give my time to you right now, even as you're doing that right now by being here. But God, we just say we give you our time. God, in 2024, our schedule belongs to you. We surrender ourselves to you. Whatever you want, not as we will, but as you will. God, we give you our frankincense, our prayers, our spiritual devotion. God, forgive us for being selfish in our worship, selfish in our prayer, selfish even in the study of your word. God, help us to seek to know, how can we give to you? How can we honor you with the devotion of our life, that the lifting of our hands would be like the evening sacrifice? And God, we give our myrrh to you. We die today. We choose death to self so that we can truly live. As you said, I came that they may have life and life more abundantly. But we cannot experience life without death to self. And I thank you that even in the midst of dying to ourselves, it's a pleasing gift to you. And so we surrender and we give 100% everything that we have for your glory and for your honor. And we thank you once again for the gift that you gave. We open up the treasures of our heart today. And we just say it all belongs to you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You can be seated just for a moment more. I'm going to ask my three older boys to join me. They're going to bless y'all in song this morning. We're going to sing Away in a Manger. And we practiced this at home. And let's see here. We need some microphones. I need Pastor Lauren or Bonnie, would y'all hand me that microphone? And then, let's see, Bethel, go get that one off that stand over there. All right, here you go, Bo. You guys ready? I feel like the guy that has the chipmunks right now. Alvin, Theodore, and Simon here. So,
away in a manger, no crib for a bed, but little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awake, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay.
Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me. I pray, bless all the dear children in thy tender care and take us to heaven to live with thee there.
Away in a manger, no crib for us.
Would you stand to your feet this morning as we close out this service? Would you just bow your head, close your eyes, raise your hands, and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace and smile all over you. And may you give gifts to God, not just today, not just this Christmas season, but throughout the rest of your life by giving him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And Father, we thank you so much for the remembrance that we have of what you did for us by sending your son. And we just declare we love you and we are so thankful for you that we get to be in your presence and in your kingdom. We love you and honor you today in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Thank you for being here today.